is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs.
I have had a vendor that I've dealt with for a good number of years who, when no one else could supply me with a product, he always had the ability to do so. Now, as of late, his prices have gotten rather greedy, but he and I are on each other's lists. When I publish things on various websites, he's notified of it, and he picks up a lot of the stuff and resubmits it to a wide range of subscribers that he has. And then he once in a while sends some things that are very, very interesting. And this particular piece came in about an hour ago. Perfect way to open the program. I never cared for you. I never cared if you were gay until you started shoving it down my throat. I never cared what color you were until you started blaming my race for your problems. I never cared about your political affiliation until you started to condemn me for mine. I never cared where you were born in the United States until you wanted to erase my history and blame my ancestors for your problems. I never cared if you were well off or poor until you said you were discriminated against when I was promoted because, well, frankly, I worked hard. I never cared if your beliefs were different from mine until you said my beliefs were wrong. But now I care. My patience and tolerance are almost gone. I'm not alone in feeling this way. There are millions who do. And we have had enough. Good evening. Welcome to a Wednesday night installment of The Edge. I'm your host and commentator, Jeffrey Bennett. I can't really refer to myself as a host because I don't take callers. I rarely do guests. But basically, I'm your commentator for the hour. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll stay with us. What I intended on doing in this hour tonight kind of became gone with the wind, as it were, for reasons that hopefully you'll understand soon. May have a little announcement later in the program today, and we'll see what happens with it, see time-wise what happens. But as I begin to put things together, things just keep coming to me that need to be said, need to be shared. Let me post a question to you. Why does it feel like we're in life during wartime. I mean, there's a laughably hopeless hope that by propping up the corpses, the populace will discern some faint flicker of life in the decaying carcasses and return to their free spending ways. Call it cultural synchronicity. I'm sorry, that's the kind of day I've had. I'm tripping over words. Call it cultural synchronicity, but it increasingly feels like we're living in the 1979 Talking Heads song from our opening words, referred to as Life During Wartime, which was anchored by the lyric, "This ain't no party, this ain't no disco, this ain't no fooling around." God, how history comes back to kick us in the assets, doesn't it? It also feels like life during wartime because the propaganda is so blatant and intense that we're winning the war on COVID-19 and our wars on everything else, too. Of course, as war is the favored metaphor and favored policy at the end of the empire. The ceaseless propaganda is that a vaccine is right around the corner. The inconvenient reality is that corporate insiders pocket $1 billion in rush for coronavirus vaccines. Well-timed stock bets have generated big profits for senior executives and board members at companies developing vaccines and treatments. In other words, wartime profiteering isn't just allowed. My friends, it's encouraged. Just another sign that we're in the final decay. Collapse phase of imperial pretensions. Now, but it becomes easy to mix up the propaganda and the counter-propaganda because they're both so damned extreme. There's no middle ground, only prepackaged positions which dictate which data is cherry-picked to support the political partisanship that's being defended. Is data our new false religion? In a world of thousands of unread papers published in hundreds of scientific journals that no one ever reads, and a corrupt culture of science for sale, there's a veritable orchard to cherry pick. Robert Horton, editor-in-chief of The Lancet, one of the most respected professional peer-reviewed publications in the world dealing with biomedical research, had these words to say in an editorial published by The Lancet in April of 2015. He stated, "The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analyses, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science has taken a turn towards darkness." And this was published in 2009 by Dr. Marcia Angell, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, another world-leading publication in medical research, but it's one that I typically raise my eyebrows and question upon occasion. She stated, "It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published, or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reach slowly and reluctantly over my 2 decades as editor of the New England Journal of Medicine." Well, my friends, metaphorically speaking, the civilian populace believes that we're winning until the bombs begin dropping on their homes. But for some reason, this doesn't feel like winning. There's been different forms of drop bombs that have been dropped upon us. Would you not agree? The V-shaped recovery is the propaganda war the status quo must win, you see, for this is the narrative battle for the hearts, for the minds of the populace. The fear here is that should the populace lose confidence in the V-shaped recovery, or maybe we should call it the TV-shaped recovery, they might reduce their borrowing and spending and increase their savings, and dooming an economy that depends entirely on marginal spending funded by debt to keep from imploding. But as a chart of the rising wedge model of breakdown illustrates, when big-ticket costs ratchet higher like clockwork, rent and property taxes and child care and higher education and debt and health care, etc., while income stagnates for the bottom 90% of us, any drop in spending, no matter how modest, breaks the system, because any reduction in spending reduces tax revenues and corporate profits and debt payments below the critical threshold. And this is why the Federal Reserve is so keen on bailing out bankrupt in all but name corporations and banks. The laughably hopeless hope is that by propping up the corpses, the populace will discern some faint flicker of life in the decaying carcasses and return once more to their free spending ways. Well, gee, that ain't going to happen unless you keep that money coming my way. You know, that free stimulus money. But then you see this is also why stimulus is being scattered from helicopters. The hope is that by substituting borrowed trillions for earned trillions, people will substitute magical thinking for clear-eyed recognition that the era of growth is transition into the era of degrowth. Well, Rose, I can't talk to you now, dear. The state of affairs. Degrowth. The state of affairs that signals the demise of all the bloated, seriotic institutions operated to benefit insiders in corporate America's cartels and monopolies. The most protected bastions of the era, of course, colleges and hospitals, they're going broke and, well, they're closing. Karl Marx once noted, everything solid melts into air when it's no longer financially viable, of course. Helicopter stimulus just creates a temporary illusion of solidity. And then, of course, there's the immense profitability of big tech pushing propaganda and partisanship and anger and indignation. I mean, if you're not terrified about Facebook, you ain't been paying attention, right? But the foundations are collapsing. But by all means, please keep your eye on the decaying corpses. I mean, didn't an eyelid flicker in that one? I can swear that one moved its foot. This is life in wartime, my friends, where the battles are waged in narratives and confidence and magical thinking and fairy tales and God knows what else goes on. Terrible. Simply terrible. More on the subject a little bit later. As long as we've just made some generalized comments on economics, we'll take a look at a couple of quick things, then we're going to move on. As you may have noticed, that the programs have been just a wee bit on the mixed side lately. And there's a reason for it. Just a second. Here we go. One, two, three here, and let's hope I can get to this quickly enough. Let's take a look at fast market reports, and we'll bail out of it. What's this? Oh, no, we've done that. That can shut down. We can go here. I really have not been paying a lot of attention to any of this stuff. You know, Fauci's running his mouth again. Now he recommends wearing goggles to prevent catching the coronavirus. Hey, Fauci, why didn't your father wear a prophylactic to prevent us from catching you, you jerk? Dow Jones Industrial closed up today 160 points to close at 26,540. S&P 500 was up 40 to close at 32,58. NASDAQ up 140. Boy, 40s were sure in the numbers today, weren't they? They closed at 10,542. Global Dow was up 3.35. No big deal. We don't care. Oil off 6 cents today at 41.21. Don't wait for your local filling station to lower their price at the pump. They'd rather pump you up. Isn't that exciting? But that's only a part of what this day brought us. Let us take a look. You know, yesterday I looked at something. Gold was, I think, 1968 when we were on the air yesterday, which for me was an interesting year. It's the day that that's the year that I took off and went to the rice paddies to spend 21 lovely months of flying over them. And I will share with you, it's not just a rice paddy. Vietnam is an absolutely exquisite country. And I was privileged to fly over the hills and the mountains for a good number of months and thoroughly enjoyed it, which may come to total shock to you. Today, gold closed up again. You know, right now I'm looking at a figure of 1970. Interesting year for me, the year that I got out of Nam, met my wife, and got married. Of course, she wasn't my wife when I met her, but well, you get the point. Silver off about 7 cents, $24.30 an ounce. You know, it's holding firmly. Platinum down, get it out of here. Nobody's buying the stuff anyway. Rhodium up $150 today. I guess it must be manufacturing some cars again. Now, having shared this with you, let's talk about gold for just a moment. I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing it. I have shared with you some rough numbers. I've talked to some people about it. Back in March of this year, I published something over at Morgana Precious Metals. I actually did it twice. I had done it a month or so ago or prior to that. And it tells an interesting story. In 1978, there's a picture of a Ford pickup truck. It's a nice one, man. I like those. 1978, the man says, I made $10 an hour installing air conditioning. I had a brand new truck that cost $6,800, rented a two-bedroom house for $300 a month. Gas was 60 cents a gallon. Food and insurance were cheap. But now the same job pays $17 an hour. The truck is 40 grand, the house is $1,400 a month, and food costs seven times more. How can the people of our country advance in life like this? Now, let's back up just a hair. 1978, the average cost of spot gold was $193.22. On May the 7th of this year, it averaged at $1,673 an ounce. Now, obviously, today's figures continue to yo-yo as the markets go up and down and yo-yo the whole nine yards. So what did I just share with you? Gold was what, $1,970? Wait a minute. Gold's up $300 an ounce since March the 7th. Ooh, hello there, Sapphire. Now, think about this. In 1978, it would have cost approximately 35.2 ounces of gold to purchase that truck. On May the 7th, it cost about $23 or 23.9 ounces, leaving you a surplus at that time of 11.3 ounces of gold in your possession. So on March the 7th, that would have come to $18,904 worth of gold would have been left over after you paid for that $40,000 truck. But, ooh, hello there, Sapphire. Let's take a look and see what it is today. 19, can't do the numbers right. I actually had this written down before, but accidentally threw the paper away. And, let's see, no, that's not right. Okay, the cost of the truck was 40 grand. It's 40 grand today. Oh, you can get them for more than that, right? Okay, whoops, I got to clear this whole thing. So 40,000 divided by, interesting enough, 1970. That means you'd have, no, that's not right. Something didn't come right. 40,000, bing, bing, bing. Divided by 1970 equals. Oh, isn't that interesting? You'd have something like I'm not doing this right. It looks like some 20 ounces of gold left over. Is that right? Am I doing this right? No, it would cost you 20 ounces of gold. Remember, back in March, it would have cost you 23.9 ounces, almost 24 ounces. Today, it'll only cost you 20.3 ounces of gold. So 20.3 times 1970 point equals, leaving you, remember back then, oh no, this can't be right. My figures are all whacked out. Well, you'd have a lot more left over than you would back in March, so seems to me somewhere over $20,000 left. Not bad. Okay, that's what's happened. It's crazy. So the question I pose to you is, you got physical clothes in hand? Because it's going to keep going up. Headline came out today. For the first time, the U.S. Mint has gone to the major purchasers of American gold, silver, and platinum eagles. These are the 13 major dealers that are authorized and licensed to purchase from the Mint and remarket to companies like myself. Okay? And one of those companies I work with is one of those 13. They were notified today, questionnaire situation. They wanted to know exactly. Okay, that's not what I want. We're done with that one. Bear with me. I'm going to pull this up and get to this. They want to know exactly what their needs are for the next few months, what they anticipate. Well, who the heck knows what the anticipation is going to be? All I know is that people are buying. Headline, bull run has started. $30 silver price is coming. By the way, we're going to withdraw 12,000 troops from Germany. I'd get them out of the whole damn Middle East, too. J.P. Morgan, of course, is being smarmy-marmy on gold, saying, oh, well, it's not going to do too well once it hits 2,000. Gold and silver soar. Fed holds interest rates steady. Nobody's surprised about that one. Let's see. Where's the U.S. Mint is asking authorized purchasers to provide their 10-day and 90-day gold and silver coin demand forecast. That is the first time that's ever been asked. Think about that. And I was in a store today. No, I was in a bank today that had a sign in their window saying that there was a shortage of coinage. I'm telling you, folks, there's never been a time in my life that I know of that a bank had a shortage of coinage. I think that the U.S. Mint, the Treasury, they're calling the stuff in. They don't want the coins out there. I think they want to get rid of coinage. One more step towards a cashless society. And yet I see people walking in with massive amounts of coins. But the bank is short. Short people, that do that. Well, never mind. You get the idea. Look, I share with you yesterday. It is difficult. For those of you who have been longtime listeners of this network, when I would come on, sometimes on John's program, when Robbie Noel, my good friend who I miss dearly, would come on, we would at least once a week, we would come on the air with a special offering. Whether it was junk silver, whether it was rolls of silver, whether it was American Eagles, whether it was British Sovereigns or a wide range, I still have the written transcripts of every ad, every special that Robbie and I would do together when we were both on the network at the same time. And it is profound. I mean, if I were to go back and take some of these things and take a look at what the cost of those packages were then, and those of you who may have been listening back in those days and who may have purchased them and what those packages are worth today, you will be shocked. Absolutely shocked. Maybe we'll take a little segment of a program and share some of those with you in the future for funds and giggles and poops and giggles and stuff like that. There's a lot going on, but I don't come on the air, as I shared with you last night, with a lot of open special offerings without explaining to you that those offerings are good right then and there at that very moment, but that we can't take orders, specific orders, until the next day when the markets and our suppliers are open again. I can give you rough ideas as to, okay, this is what it is right now, but it's going to be subject to market movement come the next day. But that shouldn't stop you from picking up the phone and calling me in the middle of the day. Let's take a look at what the real market is at that given point in time. If I can be of help to you, if you've got questions, you've never bought gold and silver before. I mean, I worked with a couple yesterday that they'd not done business with me before. They've been buying some stuff locally, but he shared some things with them that weren't right. And I said, look, I'm not trying to put questions in your mind about him, but either you misunderstood him or he represented something very incorrectly. I will share things with a potential buyer that, from the legal standpoint, I'm not supposed to share with you. Now, that may sound stupid. And you know what? I'm going to do it on the air right now. Just see if I can get through this. Maybe we'll take a break. Maybe we won't, Michael. Just hang on a sec. This couple was told that by their local vendor that he was unable to sell them more than $10,000 worth of product without reporting the transaction. That's not correct. Now, if you were going in to pay cash, maybe that's so. But if you're giving your guy a check, then it shouldn't be so. Here's the rules and the regulations. Some years ago, I did a single $1 million sale to a woman who was American, lived in one of the states outside our contiguous states. I was not required to report that transaction under any circumstances. First of all, she paid with two checks. One from one bank, the other check came from a different bank. There was no legal requirement for me to report the transaction. However, the law is very specific. If you were to call me and say, I need cash, I've got 30 ounces of gold I need to sell you. 25 ounces within a calendar year, I am not required to file any paperwork. That's on gold. On silver, it's 1,000 ounces. Now, it doesn't mean you can't sell more than 25 ounces of gold or 1,000 ounces, but 25 keeps you private with me. You go sell 25 or up to 25 with some other vendor or your local coin shop or a pawn shop if that's what you choose to do. Same circumstance with the silver. Do you know that I'm not supposed to tell you this? Why? Somebody somewhere wants to catch you with your pants down and tax you. I'm sick of this crap. It's amongst the reasons I don't like doing bank wires. Look, I did a fairly sizable transaction with a couple yesterday, this couple I was talking about. And they overnighted me the funds. He wanted to do a bank wire. I said, no, don't do that. I said, your bank's going to charge you a fee of probably $30 to wire me the money. My bank's going to charge me a fee for getting the money. Screw the banks. I mean, you know, screw them, lest they screw you. And that's exactly what they'll do, people. So, you know, when we're doing a transaction of a specific size, yeah, I strongly urge that you spend a couple of bucks, overnight the funds to me in the form of a personal check. You want to go to the bank and get a check, you can do it. But I don't see a big deal with it, okay? Because then what happens, you go into the bank and, oh, who's this company? What are you buying? None of their stinking business. Sit home, do a personal check. I got a gentleman the other day that asked me if I take money orders. Sure I do. You know, and there's some wiggy-waggy with that. But some people don't bank in the traditional format. I got no problem if they want to send me money orders. I mean, don't come to me with $20,000, $40,000 worth. No, then I am going to have problems with the bank. The bank's going to raise their eyebrows at me. Smarmy marmy. Anyway, we're running a little bit late. Let's go ahead and take the break, and we'll be back on the other side. And I want to talk to you about the latest drink. It's still summertime. You got some Kool-Aid? Are you drinking it? See you in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Nick, I reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind a little swing till the sun goes down. Hey, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man.
I got to tell you, I thank the Lord on a daily basis for recorded music. This man will be sorely missed. Charlie Daniels passed away a few weeks ago. But you listen to the words of this particular song, powerful and profound as can be. Simple man. Game change. Back in 2014, about 6 years ago, hundreds, if not thousands, of conservatives and liberty movement activists converged on a farm in rural Clark County, Nevada. The purpose was to protest the incursion of federal government agents onto the property of the Bundy family, who had defied pressure from the Bureau of Land Management to stop allowing their cattle to feed on federal land. In a form of free-ranging. It's a practice that had been going on for decades, and one that was required for the Bundy farm to survive. But it ended abruptly by environmental laws protecting a tortoise. The Bundy family had been improving on the area with water sources and other measures for generations with absolutely no interference. But the claim by the BLM and other agencies was that the farmers were destroying wildlife habitat with their cattle, and yet the Bundy's land improvements had actually allowed wildlife to thrive in areas where animals would not, or would, where animals would find life difficult or impossible otherwise. Now, the federal government became fixated on the Bundys, decided to make an example out of them. And their defiance of the crackdown on their use of the land was met with extreme measures, including their cattle impounded, their farm being surrounded, and sniper teams placed in the hills nearby. Well, the Liberty Movement saw this as the last straw and so reacted at a grassroots level. The concern was that Bundy Ranch could become another Waco. They locked and loaded and went to defend the Bundys. Completely agreed at the time with the efforts surrounding Bundy Ranch, still agree with them today. The federal government, my friends, had overstepped its bounds on multiple occasions when it came to rural farmers and sagebrush country, and everyone had finally had enough. The feds were faced with a group of armed Liberty Movement members and eventually ran away. They even gave the Bundys back the cattle that the feds had initially tried to confiscate. And that event showcased the power of the people to repel tyranny when necessary. What the hell has gone wrong today? The power of the people wants to stand up against the government, rightfully so, but the power of the people is not standing up in large enough numbers and enough power to combat the damn BLM and Antifa movements. Well, there was a claim back then that the public was impotent against government force. With the example of the Bundys, it was summarily trounced. The action was not perfect. There were many internal disputes, a plethora of mistakes, but overall, it had achieved its goal. It sent a message to the establishment that if you try to assert unconstitutional force against the citizenry, there is a chance that a Bundy Ranch scenario might happen again. And next time, it might not simply be defensive measure. We mention and discuss the Bundy Ranch because I want to remind you, I'm assuming conservatives, of your roots. We are a constitutional movement. We are a small government movement. We believe in individual rights, states' rights, the 10th Amendment, as well as strict limitations placed on the federal government and state governments when they attempt to violate the Bill of Rights. If you don't believe in these things, my friends, my dear listeners, you are not a conservative or a constitutionalist. No government, whether state or federal, supersedes the boundaries placed upon them by the Constitution. And once they violate those boundaries, they must be put in check by the citizenry, by we the people. But the Constitution is merely an object that represents an ideal. The Constitution cannot defend itself. If a government undermines constitutional protections, it is not a failure of the Constitution. It is a failure by the public, by the people, to act. But sadly, there are so-called conservatives out here who, well, they supported the efforts at Bundy Ranch in 2014. But they're now calling for federal overreach and martial law today. The very same people who argued vehemently against unconstitutional actions back then are arguing for bending or breaking the rules of the Constitution today. These are things that a good number of us who've been on the air for a long time have been warning about. You see, the greatest threat to freedom is not the government. It's not the extreme leftists or the globalist cabal. It's not the BLM. It's not Antifa. It's not the white little pussified bastards that think that they're standing up for Black Lives Matter. They're pussified little bastards. The greatest threat is when freedom fighters forsake their own principles and start rationalizing tyranny because it happens to benefit them in the moment. If freedom fighters stop fighting for freedom, who remains to pick up the mantle? No one. And thus the globalists and the collectivists win in the long run. But right now there's two sides calling for martial law-like restrictions on the public. And both sides think that they're doing what is best for society at large. They both believe that they're morally justified and that totalitarian actions are necessary for the greater good. But both sides are wrong. No, I'm not calling for martial law-like restrictions, but frankly, my friends, something must be done to stop what is taking place in some cities around the country. The destruction of private property, the murdering of innocent civilians, the destruction of government property. I'm talking police stations, mayoral offices, city government offices. Some of the horrifying stories of murders that are taking place on the street are just sickening. But let's not get into that right now. That's for another day. Let's talk about the so-called pandemic Puritans. On one side, we have a group made up primarily of political leftists, but also some conservatives who say that the coronavirus pandemic creates a scenario in which medical tyranny must be established to protect the public from itself. That would be the Dr. Fauci's and Bill Gates's of the world. Of course, the leftists enjoy control in general, and the pandemic simply offers an opportunity for them to act out their damn totalitarian fantasies in real life. These are the people who wag their fingers at others on the street or in the park or at the beach for not social distancing properly or wearing their little bloody masks. These are the people that inform on their neighbors or inform on local businesses for not following so-called strict guidelines. These are the people that get their jollies off from forcing other people to conform. Oh, this is not to say that precautions are not warranted. They certainly are, but I, for one, am not in favor of the whole mask routine. And if you go to drkelly.info and take a look at that video near the top, you'll certainly understand why. Oh, and by the way, the other video that we had published that we shared with you yesterday, you know, the one, the YouTube video with the guy saying, oh, it's important, you've got to wear the mask, got to wear the mask. But he was then holding up handwritten statements that contradicted everything coming out of his mouth. Oh, no, that's been removed. It's gone. It's been taken off of YouTube. Huh. Precautions? Yeah. Precautions must be up to individuals, not enforced by bureaucracy or bureaucracy. Because the moment you hand government ultimate power to dictate people's health decisions or personal daily activities or freedom of assembly and their ability to participate in the economy, you have given the government the ultimate power to destroy this very culture. And no government should be allowed to have that kind of influence or power. And see, my friends, the issue here is one of the greater evil, not the greater good. What is the greater evil? To avoid unconstitutional measures? Avoid violating individual rights and allow the virus to spread faster than it normally would? Or to completely throw out the Bill of Rights and individual liberty and economic security in the name of a brand of safety that is ambiguous and undefined? The state of New Jersey, among others, is now implementing a draconian response against businesses that defy lockdown orders. Jersey just arrested the owners of a gymnasium in Benoit who refused to close down, even though they used social distancing measures and applied their own guidelines. The state has decided that citizens are children that must be controlled rather than adults that can make their own choices, all of which sets a dangerous precedent for the entire country. Understand, my friends, small businesses that are not deemed essential by arbitrary decree from the state are on the verge of bankruptcy and millions of people having their livelihoods threatened by these lockdowns. Millions of jobs are either at risk or they've already been lost. Is the coronavirus really worth destroying our own entire economic system? Because that is exactly what is happening right now. The U.S. economy was already suffering from a degree of destabilization. Now the pandemic response is putting the final nail in the coffin. If the economy tanks for more, far more people will die from the resulting crisis of poverty, and crime, and civil unrest than will ever die from the virus pandemic itself. When you look at the big picture, how can anyone justify medical tyranny and martial law measures? There's simply no logical explanation for violating the economic and personal freedom of Americans in response to a so-called dis-ease. If some people die from the virus, so be it. It's a small price to pay to keep our freedoms intact. And furthermore, I would stand by that argument even if I got sick from the virus. I mean, it's not like people didn't die from all the various different ranges of influenza we've suffered over the last God knows how many years. No, I don't want people dying. But think about what I've just said. If some people die from the virus, so be it. It is a small price to pay to keep our freedoms intact. And a number of people are going to die from it anyway. Of course, we know the numbers have all been skewed. It's all lies and deceit. But think about this. There's people out there that like constitutional rights and civil liberties in theory, but in practice they view these rights as inconvenient to their specific goals. And for these so-called conservatives, the Bill of Rights is only for peacetime. When war or domestic conflict rolls around, our rights are suddenly forfeit. Oh boy, that smells like Mitt Romney. Of course, we use this particular metaphor often, but let's share this one because I can't find a better one. Government power is like the One Ring in Lord of the Rings. Everyone desperately wants control of it. The side of evil thirsts for it. The side of good thinks that if only they had it, they could use it for honorable ends, because they think they can use it to defeat evil. My friends, they're wrong. The One Ring, the government power, corrupts all. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be used for good, because eventually it warps the minds of those who hold it, twisting them into something grotesque. I mean, look at the characters like Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and who's the schmuck from New York? Chucky Scummer. And how many others? Good people who exploit the ring end up becoming the very monsters they were attempting to defeat. And evil eventually wins. Now, right now, through the Trump administration, conservatives are being tempted with the one ring crap. We're being tempted with ultimate government power. The leftist hordes and their actions are egregious. They act irrationally and foolishly. The communist ideology and mindless zealotry is destructive. And they openly seek the collapse of Western civilization. But in the end, this doesn't really matter. For they're nothing more than useful idiots for a greater agenda. It is interesting that the only solution I see being presented in conservative circles today is the use of federal power to crush the protests and riots. Again, this might seem like a reasonable action in the face of so much lawlessness, but if taken too far, the implications will be horrifying. Some conservative groups are cheering the deployment of federal agencies to cities like Portland in the name of stopping civil unrest. But there is a fine line between law enforcement and martial law. And by martial law, I mean any government force that is designed to suppress or break civil protections. This does not only include a military presence. It can also include federal agencies overstepping their bounds, as they did at the Bundy Ranch. And so, in Portland and other cities like New York, federal agents and police have been snatching protesters off the street in unmarked vans without identifying themselves. Essentially, they're black-bagging people. It's a kind of behavior which real conservatives traditionally despise. And yet some of these protesters did, in fact, loot or participate in property damage. Some of them did absolutely nothing. It's all being done under 40 U.S. Code 1315, which was signed into law by neocon President Shrub, Junior Bush, after the 9-1-1 attacks. 9-11, let's be more accurate. That was all part of the tidal wave of unconstitutional Patriot Act measures that were railroaded through during mass fear and panic. Oh, that's when government becomes the most powerful. That's when the ring comes out. And yet real conservatives have been warning for years about the potential for misuse of these laws to violate people's rights. But will we now support them because they're being enforced against people we don't like? Let me say this. If an unmarked van with unidentified armed people tried to grab me off the street, I would do everything in my power to put a bullet in each and every one of them. And I would not hold it against any person who did the same, even if they were my ideological opponent. Some conservatives are calling for much more, including the deployment of the National Guard or a standing military presence. The use of such tactics opens the doors to serious consequences, and I believe if we allow the federal government to bend the rules now, we set the stage for expansive martial law in the near future. And by extension, labeling looters or rioters as terrorists also has dangerous implications. And those of us that were activists during the Obama years know how freely that label is thrown around by government and the media. We might feel righteousness in violating the civil liberties of social justice Marxists because of their insane behavior. During the Bundy Ranch, remember, conservatives were also being labeled as terrorists. But who's to say we won't find ourselves in that position again? Would defying the pandemic lockdowns also be considered in an existential threat to the country? More on this subject another time. Thanks for joining us this evening. Tomorrow, I'll be around, and we may have a special two-part program opening tomorrow night. I'll know within the hour. Be blessed. Get some rest tonight. The battle urge surges on. Good night.
And ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. To what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you'll find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.